I'll mute myself.
Not too late.
No, I'll mute myself when I'm talking.
Oh, goodness. Welcome in and welcome back to Backseat Fantasy episode 106. Yes, we started. You said you're ready.
Yeah, but you didn't tell me you were going to start it right away.
It's just off your screen.
You said you were ready, Fonz. What do you want?
For those listening, we're not in form right now. We have half the podcast that's mid-dinner. But they swore they were ready, so I started the show. Anyways,
work with professionals here.
I guess, yeah. We took a 5-minute break, and that 5-minute break became like a 10-minute break, and I feel like a 30 would have been more efficient for.
This is such a classic Alas Brothers move. You got 5 minutes. Let me just go get some tacos.
I'll make it back in time. I can make it. And the both of you are kicking off these segments. Like when we get to these matchups. Oh goodness. Anyways, you're here for us. We're here to give you a preview into week two. Week one is behind us. Before we get there, just a quick discussion. As you guys know, we have a fantasy football last place punishment looming over our heads, and we haven't quite decided what those punishment list would be, but I think the overall goal of that is to have a set list and then do some kind of randomizer, and whoever comes in last, wherever that randomizer lands, that's what they'll do. If you've been listening to us for a while, you know that we covered a bit of it a couple episodes ago, where Fonz brought to the table a few different ideas, but I thought it'd be cool to look at some other ones. And I really only have one or two that I wanted to mention, just because I was browsing subreddit earlier today and I forgot to make note of it last week, but I wanted to bring it up this time. One of the punishments I came across is that the person who finishes in last place basically has to sit in a dark closet and build a 300-piece puzzle with only a headlamp. And they have to record the... They have to record themselves doing it. And I can't stop laughing at the thought of like one of us just like, fuck, and like going into like a dark room and just like,
I can't fucking find the piece.
Where is it? And then like, I can't remember the last time I've done a puzzle, but like those take time. And if I'm in a dark room, like in a closed space, like I'll start imagining shit. Like I'll start thinking someone's in the room with me, something's flying hovering over my head. Like it'll get ugly really fast, and for all of it to be recorded, like, oh, that's a punishment for sure.
it's got to be done in sessions though. Like this is day one in a 300 piece puzzle, like
no sessions. One session.
One sit down.
One session, dude, a 300 piece puzzle? It's crazy.
Otherwise, you just, you know, do it across the summer. Like you have 60 days and just like I don't know.
I'm just like the kind of like an updated journal you give. This is day 13 of this puzzle building. Fucking sick of it.
I just like post small segments of it on TikTok like every day. Like, this is where I'm at. This is my progress.
Yeah, exactly.
No progress.
I like that.
But yeah, the other one I saw that I didn't make note of, but it's all up here, is that, you know, you have to show. So the idea is that in this particular instance, or the one I read, is like this league does their draft in Vegas, which is something I think we should do eventually in the coming years. That would be a lot of fun. We'll get there, I think, at one point, maybe not this next year. But the whole scenario was, you know, everyone meets in Vegas to do the draft, but the person who came in last the year prior, or the year that just ended, they have to show up a full day early, and they only have $20 to their name to spend, and they don't have a hotel booking that night or a room booking that night, and they have $20 and they have to make it last like the entire time before the rest of the league gets there, or until their next, like the next day. Of course they can have a hotel room reservation somewhere, but they have to make that $20 last all the way through the night and into the early morning. And I was like, oh, That would be kind of cool, but kind of scary. Like, I feel like I could do it. Yeah. I feel like I could do it.
Just wandering around.
$50. What about $50 instead?
Sure, we'll call it $50.
I feel more comfortable with 50.
I put it in a slot and hit $1,000. Like, ah, this isn't this bad. This is that bad.
But then you'll lose $1,000 real quick. So it doesn't matter.
Nah. I imagine myself like trying to put the $20 on black to try to double up my money and then just losing it immediately. So just be like, I had to wait to white black here. Cause
and just reality sets you and you're like, oh no, I still have 12 hours.
Like, oh, you haven't even played to eat? Like, yeah, like, oh my God.
Yeah. Start begging Fonz. Fonz will be a one of those street
maybe workers. Maybe it would be more doable would be we arrived at evening and the person goes up ahead just not the day before but just that morning of early morning.
Nah, I like the night. Survive the night or you don't come back.
That's a little chaotic, man.
Deal with it, dude.
I hope it's you, Castro.
Deal with it.
You know what though? Mario would be extremely good at that. Like doing that, like $20. He's like, yeah, like I hate gambling. $20. I'm gonna make it last. Like I'm gonna go buy the cheapest drinks right now. Let me go walk the strip to find out where that is. I feel like he'd be really well. He'd do really well at it.
I use the 50 to go buy an outfit and dance for money outside, and then
collect tips.
Like that.
Yep. Get tips and just.
What about food?
I'm making enough money for all of it.
No one's gonna pay you.
Nobody's gonna pay me, but they'll pay like Mario Piss Pants over there. Yes, we'll figure it out.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, I guess maybe yeah, you could. Not. Yeah, well, you could hustle that way because, like, you go to Vegas and you have the people in costume, whatever that costume is, and they're like, "Oh, like, hey, take a picture with me." Like, oh, okay, sure. And then afterwards, like, hey, you can tip me $10, $20. Like,
dude, you remember that girl from last year? All she did was just
spin the drum.
And that's all she did and expected
the tambourine. Yeah,
it was Oh my god.
She was hustling though. She was at like different parts of the strip.
Yeah, that's she what I'm was.
Saying. She was moving. Going on and tambourine and just get tips. That's all she was doing was making
a tambourine. That was hilarious. Yeah, there was no rhythm to it. There was no structure to it. It was just her and her tambourine.
It's called art, tease.
Sure.
That's going to be me.
I am not the right focus group for that or whatever. Like, yeah, that was funny. Yeah, that was hilarious.
I like it.
She was probably a victim of that rule of the fantasy football in last place.
She ran out of 20. She went through her $20 and she had to do what she had to do.
Well, eventually we'll come to agreement on what that list of punishment ideas is, and then towards the end we'll finalize that and get going on, you know, determining who that is and what they're doing, and we'll have more to come on that. But I just thought, you know, every so often we'll bring a new idea to the table, and by the end of the season we'll have a list of all these ideas we can use. So we'll get there eventually. We'll see what shakes out throughout the next couple of months, and we'll go from there. But to get into our main content here, what you joined the show for, going into the week 2 matchups, it looks like Fonz, you are kicking us off with Joe v. Warwick.
All right, Joe v. Warwick. Let's go. Okay. Why did I sit there? There we go. All right, right now we have Joe projected at 94.21 points to Noe's 87.77 points. We got right now on Joe's side, everybody, I mean, I noticed Christian McCaffrey's not in his lineup right now. I'm assuming that we're all expecting the worst case scenario for him, and not. I think it's already been established that he's probably more than likely going to be doubtful for his week 2 status. So that's just kind of. I feel like that's a little gut punch to Joe right there after losing a good QB. So hopefully with this week 2, Jared Goff he has in his lineup right now. Hopefully he'll have a better game against Tampa Bay. I feel like it should be a better game. Tampa Bay is obviously getting better. Baker Mayfield is getting better, so I feel like it might be a good shootout game to have in that game. Aaron Jones going against the Niners. Don't know if I like that one. The defense is doing pretty well on that. So, I mean, you can't really not bench or start him. I mean, I don't think anybody has any other options. So, got to stick with that. And yeah, I think all around, I think he has a pretty good lineup that he has set. Not much. His team doesn't really go in depth because all he has on his bench really is Scary Terry, Damian Pierce, Brock Purdy, Jake Ferguson, who's hurt. Just not really good options. So, Joe, you better start looking at trying to improve some your bench there because you're starting to lose options here. On Noe's side, I'm sorry, go ahead. Did you guys have a comment about that?
I was just going to say, I don't know if I've ever seen a projection for Joe so low before.
No. Yeah, it's usually been over 100, right? That's true. Yeah. Well, Joe, start hitting that panic button.
Dang.
Not yet.
Heard it here first.
He definitely needs some backups, but.
You already lost week one. Get ready for week two. On Noe's side, we got the projection of 87.77.
Warwick.
Patrick Mahomes against
Warwick.
I'm sorry, Warwick's side. Why do I keep saying Noe? Did you, someone say Noe?
Because you love him?
Maybe you do. He loves you, Noe.
Anyway, Warwick's side.
Wow.
Is that Patrick Mahomes? I don't really see why you shouldn't start him. It doesn't look like it's a good matchup because it's in the red. James Cook, Jay McLaughlin. My gosh. Does he not have any other better running back options?
James Cook is...
And then he's got the two rookies going again, Malik Nabers and Keon Coleman. Looks like he picked up Hayden Hurst, or maybe he already had him. Really, I mean, Godwin is, and Brandon Cooks are pretty much going to be his bread and butter. I'm surprised with how good Jerry Jeudy performed last week that he doesn't have him in there, considering that they were getting blown out by the Cowboys. But I'm surprised he doesn't have Jerry Jeudy in there somewhere.
Jeudy?
Did he do good last week? Eight targets, three receptions, and a touch. Oh, yeah.
That's all. He just had a touchdown.
I mean, considering for
you're right,
them getting blown out by the Cowboys, I feel like that's a pretty good sign if he's getting used, that his targets are coming his way. Amari Cooper didn't get that much, so but that could be just because they were guarding Cooper a little bit more.
I think the biggest concern I have is Brandon Cooks, but he's a hit or miss.
You said that's the only concern you have?
Yeah, I'm just surprised he has Jerry Jeudy. But considering that he has two rookies starting, I just feel like, why even keep Jerry Jeudy if you don't have any faith in him? Just drop him at this point if you don't care. I mean, he was quick to drop. He was quick to drop a tight end, a rookie tight end.
He was
sexy.
Once I had enough of it. Enough of your attitude, Warwick.
That's what I'm saying. With those moves that he was making, it just doesn't. To me, it's weird that he has Jerry Jeudy on the bench. Either you believe in him or you don't. And if it is that he doesn't believe in him, why not drop him as fast as he dropped the tight end?
Maybe he believes in Brandon Cooks more than
playing
he does
the long
Jerry
game.
Jeudy.
Yeah,
I didn't even put a real shirt on. Sorry, it's just. He's just like putting his shirt on. Jesus, you're cold, so he put his like hands into his tank top.
You know,
I want to say something, but not for the public's ears right now.
I know. I think I know what you want to say.
Say it.
Oh, dude, damn, we got a show. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail. Continue, Fonz.
What were you going to say?
Stop moving like that. Why do you always do this? Every episode, you bring the odd. Why do you? Why?
We don't have enough time for that. Let's pause. Let's go back.
Yeah, I don't. I actually don't know if I do anything different on Warwick's side. Yeah, the running backs are really just McLaughlin is the only questionable one. But I mean, it's just him and Javonte over there. So like, I don't the third string running back they put on IR like earlier today, Audric Estime. So it's really just those two guys, and I guess you're banking on the upside for that. And then really everyone else, I mean, two receivers are obviously in the receiver slot, but the two flexes are also receivers, and Chris Godwin, Brandon Cooks, and then the two rooks, like Malik Nabers, I saw enough volume from him in week one to hope that, yeah, maybe that turns into, you know, the same production or maybe even a touchdown. And then Keon Coleman, like I really did like what I saw last week. So I would play the same receivers over what he has on the bench. So I don't, the only one questionable, like in my mind was Calvin Ridley, but they're playing the Jets. So it's a tough defense. And I don't know if he's projected.
Right. Like I figured Godwin and Brooks or Brandon Cooks would be the one wide receiver one and two in the squad. And then maybe Malik Nabers as the flex and then Jerry Jeudy. Somewhere in there, but no, that's not the case. He has Keon Coleman again. Just I guess he's hoping for the upside on that, which I don't blame him. Just I feel like you'd want to go with Jerry Jeudy more than Coleman at this point. But what do I know?
Fonz is in on Jeudy.
What do you know?
Listen up, Ward.
Why don't you trade him, Fonz?
It's a little trade offer.
Why don't you marry Jerry Jeudy? All
right. Well, yeah, that's the matchup right there. I got Joe winning this one. I just don't see Warren doing enough to win this match on there. But I feel like it'll be a close one just because Joe doesn't have a strong QB. Or running back like he used to, but we'll see how that turns out.
I'm going to go with Joe.
I'm taking work.
Ooh.
I'm taking work.
I'm going to take Joe. Right.
3-1. Fonz, I have a question. And if you want to pass on this matchup, that's fine. You can do it for your second matchup. But out of the two starting lineups you see here, what's one person, and probably not based on analysis because I didn't prep you for this or anything, but based on feeling or analysis or just whatever's going through your mind, pick one person that you think is going to score a touchdown from this matchup. One player.
That's going to score a touchdown?
Yeah.
On each team or just one
person? Just one for the entire matchup.
Don't overcomplicate this, Fonz.
And if you want to pass on this one, fine, because you and your brother are both covering two matchups, so you can pass it to the next one. I want to bet a parlay, but I feel like the best parlays win just on complete randomness. So I want to ask everyone from the matchups that they're covering, give me one player that you think will score a touchdown from that matchup, and I'm gonna put a parlay on those guys.
I play Connor. You're gonna count on him to get a touchdown. That's what I got.
Cool. James Conner. All right. Moving on.
I'm going to mess all up right. Your parlay, D's.
Don't you dare.
Kicker. The kicker. No. I really think he'll score a touchdown this week.
Wouldn't that be some shit, though, if you did choose a kicker and ended up being a fake or whatever? Or like a
fumble, just like on the catch.
Yeah, and he has to like pick it up and like throw it. And I'm like, oh,
he
my
just runs
God.
It in.
He bounces off, he catches it himself, runs it in.
I tried to help you, D's. I tried.
All right. Yeah, well, that's it on that one. My brother's got the next matchup.
Switcheroo here.
Ass over here.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to ASMR.
Are you cold, William?
I am.
Yeah, you look like a little bitch.
What the fuck?
All right, my brother versus Justin.
Oh, uh-oh.
Here we go. Right now, currently, my brother is projected 93 points versus Justin's 104, but my brother does not have a defense in. So, some players to keep an eye on my brother's team. Kyren Williams, I think, with him being like the punt returner and all that stuff, just trying to figure out, is this a fluke? Is this what he's going to do? Is he going to get all the looks, you know, that, is his role going to minimize at all as a runner? Dalton Kincaid is another one. Last game, he ended up with 1 for 2 receptions. It's very interesting. I think you guys had mentioned in the last episode that it was interesting to see that an offense that doesn't really have an offense, that they didn't really lean on Kincaid, but it's just week 1. But it'll be interesting to see if that's what happens in week 2, if that's still the case, because they did pass the ball around to other people. So that'll be interesting to see what happens. Thoughts on Dak with his new contract? Is he going to do better? Is he going to do mediocre? What do you guys think?
Cowboys suck.
He's going to do exactly what he would have done.
Cowboys do.
Okay. All right. Well, somebody to keep an eye on there for my brother for quarterbacks. He does have Bo Nix on the bench, so he has options. Michael Mayer, he ended up with 2 for 3 receptions for 3 yards last week.
That's Brock Bowers, baby.
Does that continue, right? Does the rookie come in and just take over? And is this something that of a concern for my brother as far as Michael Mayer? And what do you do with that? You drop him, trade him? What do you do?
Drop him. Drop him. Drop
him. Handcuff him.
Handcuff. No. There you go. On Justin's side, Lamar Jackson. I'm interested to see if that guy – it seemed like the first half of the game, he was not – he didn't look that good. He didn't look that hot. And then towards the second half, he just started running the ball a lot. And that's where he got majority of his points. So I'm curious to see if he holds that as far as, like, his rushing yards this week. Monroe, last week he ended up with 3 for 6 receptions, 13 yards. Are you worried about him and that offense? Is Amon-Ra going to get his workload as far as a wide receiver? So, I don't know. Somebody to keep an eye on there. Stephon Diggs, he has the hot hand. 2 touchdowns, 6 for 6 receptions, 33 fluke. Yards.
Fluke.
Right. Is it a fluke?
Or
I mean, his main points came from the 2 touchdowns. But I think Stephon Diggs, he's going to get open. He's going to get those touchdowns. Maybe that's something that we see every week. He's going to be a touchdown machine. Somebody else that exploded on Justin's team last week, Joe Mixon, he had 30 carries. So I'm curious to see if that continues this week for Houston. Is Joe Mixon end up with another 25 touches, 30 carries, like 25 to 30? I'll take it. You know, if I was so. And something I wanted to mention was that Justin has 4 players on his bench currently that are questionable. So they are hurt. They're probably the ones with the knee injury that you were talking about.
Probably. Because you, yeah. Nice one, William.
So, yeah, that's, you know, what I'm keeping an eye on. Also, like Tony Pollard, was that a fluke or is that going to be a continuous thing? He did look good last week, but we also seen Tony Pollard do bad. Like last year, he just didn't show up for whatever reason. So I'm curious to keep an eye on him. A lot of players to keep an eye on and see how they do. But overall, I wouldn't really change anything on Justin's side. On my brother's side, right now, currently he only has the Broncos defense available. I haven't checked to see really who's available on the free agency
to see if he would pick up anyone, but yeah, get a defense in there.
Yeah, you have right to now, that brings up his projection up at least into the upper 90s, maybe even break up, barely break 100. So it'll, it projections say it would be closer. 7 points. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Justin's projected to be my brother, like I said. That's, I wouldn't change anything on either side, I guess, at this point. Yeah. Y'all have anything? Any suggestions?
No suggestions, I don't think, for me. Just that with Diggs, I think that that volume, or at least the, you know, who's going to have the hot hand and on that Texans offense from the receivers, I think that's going to shuffle around a bit. I think Diggs is great, like great football player, great for fantasy, but I don't think that that sustains or he's going to keep those same numbers throughout these next few weeks or throughout the season. I think it's going to shuffle around to Nico, to Tank, and just kind of, you know, move around there. There's too many good options there. I don't think it's always going to be Diggs. And then, there's one more thing I was going to bring up. Tony Pollard. I would be, no, never mind. Not against the Jets. I would maybe try to find a way to get him in, but I'd rather keep him on the bench if he's going up against New York Jets defense and just see how he does in week two and be okay with, you know, whatever he does do or doesn't.
I don't know. The Jets got slapped in the mouth on the ground.
Yeah, by a backup, our running back.
Hey, who asked you?
Sorry.
Not Schley Fonz. Love it.
It's true. Good point.
Well, Castro?
No, not really anything. You pretty much covered it all. Yeah, don't really got anything for this one. Feel like it's all
right. No, well, let's pick them then. This is gonna be a close one, but I think because of the players that Justin has, there's a lot of players in there that have that hot hand right now. I'm gonna go Justin this week.
I'm gonna go Fonz, my boy.
I don't want some loser siding with me.
Whoa.
I'm going Justin. White and Stroud.
Yeah, you would.
White and Stroud. You had it.
Well, right. you got anyone for a touchdown this matchup, or you want to push it for your second?
Oh. Touchdown. Let's see. Shut up. We'll go Joe Mixon.
No. Don't do it.
All
right. See, Fon, see how he treats you? Damn.
He's going to get 30 carries
this week? He said a touchdown.
5 carries, 0 touchdowns.
He's going to get
slap him, Fon. Slap him. Slap the man. All right. I'm next. I'm taking over. We got Miller versus Will. Miller wins. It's not even close. Moving on. All right. So far, we have the projection. William, 89.4 points to Miller, 78.65. The true rebuild team. So on Miller's side, shooting for miracles, but they probably all are going to hit because it's Miller. He does have Cooper Kupp out there who is looking good. He looked good yesterday. Matt Stafford loves to lock in on a guy, and he's already shown chemistry with Cup in the past, obviously. So I feel like that it's going to be where the majority of his points come from. I do like that he also picked up Alan Lazard. I think he might be like more relevant than we thought just because Aaron Rodgers is kind of like a trust dude. And I think he trusts him the most, even though Garrett Wilson, I still think is going to get his, but like he obviously still like, oh, Alan Lazard's my guy. I brought him here. I want him here. I'm going to feed him.
I feel like he dropped the most balls last game.
No, and I think Garrett Wilson was the one who did the one where he got picked off, and I think Aaron Rodgers doesn't like that crap. Like, and I want to say too, like I was really impressed with Aaron Rodgers. Like I thought he looked pretty like good. Like his passes were on point. Like some of the throws he made, I was like, whoa, like that was good. I guess I had to see.
It was a free play. He's typical Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, just, yeah. He's just
did you score? Like, how are you so good at this when there's a free play?
Like, yeah, it looked really, really good. Like, I think that he'll be better. He'll have better days out there, but just impressed for him being that old and like taking a whole year off, like still throwing dots on the line.
Were y'all? I know y'all were watching the game. Were y'all like? I find myself rooting for him, not just because I have Garrett Wilson, and so if Aaron Rodgers does well, you would assume Garrett Wilson does well. But like, I find myself rooting for him the entire offseason. Like, man, your rehab going great. You look great in training camp, all this stuff. But then like the game started, and I was like kind of holding my breath, and I was like, ugh! Like every time he got close to, you know, getting sacked or just get, you know, getting any kind of contact, I was like, oh man, please be okay, please be okay. I want him to do well. I want him to end his career well. So, and I agree, he did look really good, all things considered.
I was a little disappointed with like how many points he put up, but given that, as far as like accuracy and everything and making plays, like, he did look good. I think he's realizing that he's just getting a little older, right? And like, he's not as sharp as he was before. He seemed to hype up Garrett Wilson a lot and was like super happy. I don't know if you watched in the game, he was just like, that's right. Like, there's more to come. Like, that's so, like, I think he's trying to help Garrett Wilson succeed in that, on that team. So I personally think Garrett Wilson's the guy, not Lazard.
I'm not saying Lazard's the guy. I'm just saying, like, I think like Lazard's going to get targets just because he's like Aaron Rodgers, like,
yeah,
posse. Like, he brought him over. So it's not like Lazard. Like, I thought Lazard was going to be nothing, and I think that's wrong. But I obviously, Garrett Wilson is the better talent, the better wide receiver.
Yeah, comparing it to nothing, yeah, you're right.
I didn't expect Lazard to be that active, like, for any game.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to add, like, yeah, I am kind of rooting for Rodgers just as a good person, you know, but my intrusive thought is that fuck Aaron Rodgers.
Damn, Fonz.
He screwed us so many times in playoffs and said so much shit about the Cowboys too. Like, fuck him.
All right, on Williams' side, bunch of nobodies. Nah, he's got a couple people there that he's learned from. Isaiah likely makes the list this time, William.
Hey.
Putting him in.
Sir.
Also, I like Rashee Rice. 1 point.
I'll take it.
Rashee Rice makes the lineup too. Like, I like him too. He seems to be the floor guy for Kansas City, where he's just going to get the targets. Mm-hmm. And he's going to get those small catches. May not blow the roof off of the house, but he'll be sustainable. Yeah. Kenneth Walker has an oblique injury. Didn't practice today, Will. Are you going to start Zach Charbonnet?
Well, I'm using the new sub.
Sub
feature, yeah. So
look at you, dude. You're on it.
I don't have to worry about it at all.
I see you do have an empty flex spot. I imagine you want me to fill it for you.
Yeah, fill it in for me.
Gross, dude.
Justice Hill.
No. When are you going to learn, dude? Put in Shaheed. What else do you want him to do?
He had a good week last week.
You don't like 60-yard touchdowns, William? Is that the problem? Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you right now, put in Shaheed if you want to win this.
Against Dallas?
That's 14 points. They're not going to care about him. They're going to worry about what's-his-name, Olave. Shaheed's going to blow the roof off him. It's all right, Will. It's cool.
It's cool.
A little background of Miller versus Will. They've played against each other a total of 12 times, I believe. And out of those 12 times, Will has managed to beat Miller only 4 times.
Dang.
So Miller definitely owns that ass.
No, he does not.
he definitely owns it.
This is Rebuild Miller.
This is Rebuild Miller. He wants a taste of what he knows. He knows Will's coming. But yeah, we'll see how it ends. Will, maybe you can make that record a little better because it's pretty bad. This is, if you lose to Miller now, he's in rebuild mode. He'll probably just never let you forget it. You will, oh, yeah. He'll definitely own you at this point. He'll be like, hey, remember when I beat you with nobody?
You suggest Shahid.
Yes, dude. I'm trying to save you from that.
Got it.
That's my suggestion. That's the one. I'll put it in now. I don't really have any suggestions for Miller. The only one thing, maybe, I guess, no. I like everything he has in his lineup.
And I'm with Castro on the Shahid.
There you go, dude. Make the choice. Make the choice.
Right in front of you.
With Fonz, what do you think?
Justice Hill.
Justice Hill? Come on, Fonz. Do you want Will to be Miller's bitch?
Yeah, I think you can't ignore Rashid Shahid and what he can do. So.
Will's going to be so pissed because we're going to convince him to start him. He's going to put up no points. He's going to be so upset.
See, I told you.
Basura. Basura. Honestly, on the stats, yes, I think Rashid Shahid you should go with. But honestly, I like Tyler Johnson. I like the guy you picked up.
What?
I think that he's going to have a big game.
Yeah, start him, William. Do that.
Okay.
That's all I really got for this matchup. I am going, or does anyone have anything else before we pick them?
Nothing else.
All right. I'm going to pick Miller. I think Miller takes this one.
All right.
The pass. He's 4-8. I'm going to stick with that.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking Will.
Ooh. Fonz, I don't even have to ask you, dude.
Am I muted?
No, I heard you, but I don't have to ask you because I know your answer.
Exactly. You didn't have to ask because I already answered.
Don't even answer. We all know who you're going
to
pick.
I don't have to answer. No one asked you to ask me because I already answered.
Am I muted? Mute this, Fonz.
Castro, who's your anytime touchdown guy?
Oh, yeah, my anytime touchdown. Let me see. Let me see. Hold on. Yeah, I'm gonna bump up your odds, and I'm gonna go Alan Lazard.
Whoa, you lost there.
Oh, what the.
Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna bump up your odds.
This is gonna be a really great experiment.
Oh, Deez is about to make some serious cash, and y'all are gonna be like, "Oh, okay."
Alan Lazard. Okay.
Out of everybody you just named in that matchup, Alan Lazard is the one you're most confident in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
That's the guy.
Well, yeah, we'll see how that goes. all right, moving on to me. I am covering Castro and Isaac. Let me pull up their matchup here in front of me. And while I do that, I will tell you guys, this is a cousin showdown, Castro v. Isaac. Right now, the projection is Castro 101 to Isaac 91, both coming into week 2, 0-1. This is their 10th time meeting in the regular season head-to-head. Castro over Isaac 5-4. Last met week 10, 2023, not too long ago, where Castro won by nearly 60, 122 to 62.
You like that font?
122 to 62.
Yeah, choke on it. Sorry.
Let's see. Key players in this game or in this matchup on Castro's side. I see a lot of green on Castro's side. So I would hope for a bounce back from most of your players. In the recap, week one recap episode, I had listed the Bengals as a surprise and as a disappointment. But I think those players, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, hell, even McPherson, the kicker, I think they have an opportunity here to bounce back. And I hope they do for your sake. Aside from those two, three names, Alvin Kamara, versus Dallas. I was trying to look at the last time Kamara played the last time Kamara played Dallas, but I couldn't find it, or at least like I had to go 2 years back, and that game he didn't play. So I can't really compare any stats, but I have to think if Jerome Ford can put up modest numbers against Dallas, why not Kamara? And he was my key player for you last week. I think he does the same thing again this week for you. The only other name I'll mention outside of the couple obvious ones here is Jahmyr Gibbs versus Tampa Bay. There's a reason why I had that as a note or as a key player, but now I'm blanking on the reason why. I think I thought David Montgomery was injured, but I think I'm realizing I confused that with a different backfield. So maybe not so much a key player of the game, but you just got to hope he does well, Jahmyr Gibbs. Moving on or switching on over to Isaac's side, Anthony Richardson is on my list. Key player there. You want him to put up, better passing numbers than he did in week one. But even if he doesn't, there is always that upside for his rushing. And it's a bit of a bonus because I think Isaac, at least earlier, he has Pittman in the starting lineup. So, bonus points if he links up with Pittman, because that's a stack that he has. So that'll be big for him if those two check out. Battle of the stacks, indeed. The other point on Isaac's side is he's starting Jordan Mason for the will probably be the CMC's second week sitting out, given what we've heard for his injury and all the rumors about what the coach says or what the media is saying. I don't think CMC plays this week, and if he does, long shot, but if he does, I think he'll be on a snap count, or it'll just be a decoy. So Jordan Mason is the obvious start and a key player, I think, for Isaac. And then I'm going to go ahead and list Xavier Worthy for the Chiefs going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. I think there is opportunity for him to continue what he did last week. I don't think it's hard for him to be fantasy relevant, but I think they'll find the right way to use him against Cincinnati. And so those are my notes for Isaac. Injury and lineup updates for Castro. Castro, you had David Njoku get injured in week one, and I think he's already been called out or deemed out. I don't think he got put on IR, right? But he is out this week.
Yeah, he's out.
He's out this week. Ankle injury, which brought me to my question earlier, but I'm noticing you updated your lineup. My question was, who will be your starting tight end, either Noah Gray or Jonnu Smith or someone from free agency? It looks like you're plugging in Noah Gray here, which I don't think is a bad option. I think I would play Gray over Smith anyway. The question for me, or the point I wanted to make is there any, are you contemplating playing Baker over Joe Burrow? And I would assume no, because you're probably thinking the same thing I'm thinking of, like a bounce back game, or not a bounce back game, but just the Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, Cincinnati in general, will do better than they did week one. So how could you sit Joe Burrow when you have the opportunity for the stack? You just called it. This is the battle of the stacks here. So it's probably not so much, up in the air for you. You're probably going to start Joe Burrow, but you can't ignore what Baker did in week one.
I can't wait to hear this.
I can't.
I don't know what I want to say.
Oh, you want to say something? Say it.
Yeah.
Say it.
I think that until Joe Burrow proves himself, this season, you go with Baker Mayfield.
Do you see what your brother's doing? He wants to hide you. You're so embarrassing right now. you're just talking. Your brother's trying to save you there. No, Fonz. I'm thinking about Baker, but no, I think I'm just going to ride it with Joe Burrow.
Go, Baker!
The matchup is just, I think it's going to be good. I think they're going to both be throwing. Like, it's a team that they, in the past, love to play, like, these, like, high-scoring games. So, I would love to go Baker. Baker is playing the Lions, though, and I feel like the Lions' secondary is a little bit better than before. But I think I'm going to run it with Joe Burrow for now. Subject to change. We'll see.
That's fair. On Isaac's side, he also was bitten by the injury bug. Puka Nacua. I made a note for the last show, but I think that's a knee injury for Puka. Or that's my guess, at least based on what I said earlier about William putting the bad juju out there for a bunch of knee injuries. Puka Nacua hit the IR, which means he'll be out for at least the next 4 weeks. I think Will called it out the last show. You know, could absolutely be more, but Isaac is without Puka, but Isaac does have options there. It looks like he's already made the swap. So he's starting Brian Thomas Jr., who was on his bench last week, and Brandon Ayuk in his starting lineup this week. And both of those guys were on the bench last week. I don't think I have any subs that I would suggest as I'm looking through the bench. Definitely not on Castro's side, and not on Isaac. I would also sit Zamir White. Zamir White's already on the bench. And then Hubbard didn't have a good game last week. So both of those guys, I think, would have been the only call outs. But you don't like what you saw in week one, so those guys have to hit the bench for me. Do y'all have any?
What about Palmer? Or like they're playing Carolina. So
I can't believe you just asked it.
Who? Oh, Josh.
Oh, steal my thing, huh?
Irrelevant.
What?
Irrelevant. What?
What? What?
Oh, what I meant.
He didn't hear you.
He didn't hear who?
You.
You?
God bless America.
All right, let's get back on track here. Palmer's playing against the Carolina Panthers, who just got smoked.
Yes, but... no.
Yeah, Palmer isn't relevant in that offense. They don't need him. They're not going to pass the ball to him.
Yeah, so, no. But you wouldn't play, like, you're talking about substituting Palmer in for someone in your starting lineup? But, or are you talking about my pick for touchdown?
Oh, I like that. No, I wouldn't sub him for anyone.
Okay. Okay. I was like, yeah, I'm looking through your lineup. There's no one I would play, I would take down for Palmer. Like, no. But I want to make sure I heard you right, because my feed, my whatever, I feel like it's laggy there. So
Fonz is out of his mind.
I think on Isaac's side, I would sit Xavier Worthy and put in Cole Kmet.
What?
That's my move of the day.
Why?
I think Xavier Worthy's going to put up like very little points this week.
What are you talking about, William? What's going on in that house? What was in those tacos?
I
don't want to talk about Palmer with a touchdown. Get out of here.
I would not do that. Cole Kmet is listed as the tight end one on the depth chart, but if you look at last week, I think that game went in Gerald Everett's favor, who's the backup tight end. Everett played, I think, 61% of snaps. Also did terrible, but when you compare it to Cole Kmet, he only played 48%. It was only targeted once. To be fair, I think Everett was only targeted twice, but still, like, oh, I'm sorry. They were each targeted once. But no, I wouldn't play that game.
You wouldn't do that?
No.
Well, I would do that. Cole Kmet's going to have a touchdown this week.
Do it, Isaac. Trust William.
Yeah, trust William.
It's all about Cole Kmet. He's the man. You start him, dude.
Damn, you calling him out, Will, or what?
Yeah. I start Cole Kmet, sit Xavier Worthy this week. That's my big play for the week.
That's the big Willie play of the week. The big Wills.
Big Willie style.
And if he does well, trade him to my brother or Castro. They need tight ends. Castro, why are you starting Noah Gray?
Why not?
Is that a tight end?
I'm asking why.
He did better than Cole Kmet.
True.
We've got Kelsey there.
Yeah, but Kelsey's old and like, Gray's still part of it. He still got like 3 targets.
Okay.
It's tight end. Right. There's not much out there anyways.
Okay. I'm just asking. Okay. That's all. All right.
Pick 'em. Bros?
Oh, this is tough.
I don't like either one.
Stick burn.
I'm just gonna I'm gonna take a loss and not call out either one. It's like,
it's fucked they up. End up in a tie.
I'm gonna say Castro because Isaac's gonna start the wrong people this week.
You know what? I feel like that is exactly what's gonna happen too, to be honest. Castro.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone like I didn't have any like, oh, you should start this person over that on Isaac's side. So I think Isaac has his current lineup. That's the best chance he has at winning. That being said, I think the Bengals have a bounce back this week and all the Castro's guys will click. So I'm also taking Castro. And for my anytime touchdown, I am also going to be on Castro's side of the lineup here, or sorry, side of the matchup. And I'm probably going to take Jonathan Taylor. That seems right.
I like
over Palmer. I like it.
Whoa.
Yeah, Castro already shot the odds up by taking Alan Lazard. So I don't want to get too cute. You know,
I don't want to make money. That's what I hear.
Hey, do we get a split of this money of this parlay bet you're putting?
No, dude. Put your own bet in. Yeah, I'm gonna put the same parlay in.
James Yelkin, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Four down, two to go.
All right, I got the next one. Bees versus Noe. Here we go. Nope, I don't have it up. Hold on.
Oh, nice one, Fonz. Nice one.
Bees right now projected 104.95 points to Noe's 94.39. Gosh, you got to go Barkley. Matchup says it's not great, but you have to go with him. Oh, I guess you're going to look closer tomorrow for HN to see what his status is going to be.
Yeah, I have to drop a defense or something, but I'm waiting. My hope is I'll wake up in the morning and I'll get some kind of designation or like for HN, whether he plays or whatever. But if he's out, I can easily swap him to the IR. I can't make any moves right now because my roster is locked because I have Dylan Lobby in IR. I need to move him out because he's no longer on IR or no longer deemed out. So for right now, HN staying in, but waiting on news there.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I guess if that happens, you just move up Stevenson from flex to RB2.
Correct.
And you're going to go again, Samuel and Kittle on here again.
Right. You know it.
Yeah. All right, man. On your side, I really can't see. I mean, I'm glad you got Deontay Johnson out of your roster there. You can't really trust that.
We need to learn more about that offense.
and then Brock Bowers, I feel like is probably just need a little bit more before you start feeling a little more confident in starting him. I honestly would start him over Kittle, but I mean, it's hard to bench Kittle if he does have a good game. And feel okay with it on your bench. but I think you got your best lineup that you got going right now. Bowers is probably the only craziest thing that I would think about going over over Kittle, but crazy thought. On Noe's side, really hoping Gus Edwards steps up a little bit more on the offense this time around instead of J.K. Dobbins, but good that he's got him in the lineup. Marvin Harrison Jr., you just got to take another chance at him. I don't think you bench him. You got to take another shot at it with him.
Agreed.
The only ones on this bench that I would probably maybe consider would probably be maybe Ray Davis, but I don't. No, never mind. I think he's got the best lineup that he can go with as well. So really it's just seeing who gets the most points here, who passes their projections. I really don't see Noe passing the projections unless Marvin Harrison Jr. goes off this week. And then that would probably make it a close match or probably even put him over the top over UDs on that week.
Yeah, we'll see. I haven't told Noe this, but I him and I are probably just going to go back and forth the entire weekend. Like, with Eagles chants. I have Saquon. He has like three different Eagles, and we'll probably just be on opposite sides of the street, like "Go Birds, Go Birds," like, doing the Eagles chants or something. Like, you know, when Saquon scores, and you know, when Jalen Hurts does his thing. But we'll see what happens. But I do need help. I do need help from the crew here. And if you can put your selfish feelings aside for the next 2 minutes or so, I'm in a pickle because I have three defenses on my roster. And right now in the starting lineup, I have the Commanders defense going up against the Giants. And as we know, Minnesota, the Vikings last week, just defense did amazing against the Giants. But it's Washington, right? Like, Commanders defense wasn't that pretty in week one either. So I don't know if the Giants bounce back here and it, you know, it's not a, you know, not a pretty game for either side. And this defense ends up putting up like less than five. On my bench, I have the Colts defense going up against the Packers. Malik Willis, I think, will get the start. I don't think Jordan Love will be healthy enough to start this weekend. And from what I saw, from what I know about Malik Willis and what I saw at the end of the game on during week one, the week one matchup, it wasn't pretty. So I have hope that the Colts would do pretty great against Malik Willis and the Packers. And then, of course, I still have Vikings defense. I don't think I start Vikings over 49ers, but that's still in play too. I'm kind of torn between Colts and Commanders right now.
I say Colts.
I can see why you're in a pickle because, yeah, Colts on paper don't look good against Green Bay, but if Jordan Love sits out and they go Malik Willis, I feel like you have to go Colts. And then you never know with this division matchups.
Right, exactly.
Like, Daniel Jones is just going to probably go off for no freaking reason.
True.
And so, like you said, Commanders defense is pretty beatable. On paper, they look like they should be the ones you start, but I think Colts is going to be the one you go with. Go ahead, Kester.
No, I was going to say the Colts, Malik Willis. Like, that's all you have to say. The dude can't throw. Okay. Just tries a run, probably will give you a turnover. I definitely go Colts.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck. all time, D's holds the record 2-0 over Noe. He's looking to continue that streak. Noe, good luck.
Good luck.
Who owns that neighborhood?
Hopefully. Marvin Harrison shows up for you this week.
How dare you, Fonz? You know Kyler would never allow that.
He would not.
That's wild, though, if that's Kyler. You gotta hate the dude if he's doing that.
You gotta hate the owner. Kind of person would own a player like that.
That being said, I got for the pick-ems, I got D's.
I got D's too. William? Oh, he's deep in thought.
Oh, this is tough.
Oh, God.
I feel like these players are going to get hurt. Yeah. Oh, <God. laughs> Noe.
Oh! Wow. Fucking William, dude. How dare you?
And you know what, Fonz, for the crazy, you know, 5 or 6 leg parlay, pick an anytime touchdown score from this matchup.
Hell yeah.
Not like Saquon.
Yeah, why not?
He's going to get hurt.
I swear to God, it will if he does. I've told you this before. I will not talk to you for the rest of the season. I will not. I won't. I'm dead serious. I won't talk to you.
I really like Saquon as anytime touchdown. Like, I don't think you can deny that he's gonna at least get one touchdown per game. I feel like there's unless he gets hurt.
So yeah, Saquon then?
I would do Saquon.
Yeah, I didn't ask
would you William?
I'm not gonna say anything.
You little worm over there.
All right, William, bring us home.
Alright, next matchup.
Swap it.
Mario versus Scott. You guys ready for this? Alright, right now Mario's projected 108 to Scott's 93. What do we got here? Shakira. Mario, I think he had mentioned this in the last episode. But I would be concerned. Like, do you start Caleb Williams this week?
Or do you go with the safe bet and go Geno Smith? But with that, they're playing New England. So, I don't know.
Justin Fields.
Yeah, Mario had stones. He'd go Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope he does. That's what he loses.
They're saying he's the starter. I don't know. I don't know if I feel comfortable with Caleb Williams starting in week two. But he has him in there. Tyreek Hill, he's doing his thing right now. He has 19. He had 19 points last week. So I feel like that's going to continue this week. Tomorrow when he plays, Tyreek Hill will have like a 60-yard touchdown or something and end up with like 12, 13 points. Mark Andrews, you got to be worried, right, as a Mark Andrews owner. I'm closely keeping for bias reasons because I have Isaiah Likely, but also just to see like what Mark Andrews does this week. Is that going to be the gameplay or the game script for this week? Let's see.
I think if Mark Andrews has a similar game to last week, I think that's when you start to be concerned.
Yeah.
I think that's when it starts to, but Mario said it last time or last episode, like it, you know, it's week one, like it just maybe just wasn't the right game script for him. And so we'll see.
Jaden Reed, do you sit or you start him this week with a quarterback change? I personally would sit him.
For who?
There's
nobody else that he can start.
Shakir. I'm gonna start him instead. I trust Josh Allen's arm versus Malik Willis. And then I just want to make a comment. Like, yeah, like Mario's wide receivers, they're looking really good. Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Jaden Reed was looking good, right? It's unfortunate with the, but he clearly can show that he is a good wide receiver when Jordan Love comes back. So
AJ Brown.
Oh, and AJ Brown, yeah, absolutely killing it. Mario picked up the hot kicker for the week. Fucking Boswell, he put up almost 30 points last week, 27.80. So
knowing Mario's life is still doing nothing,
it, right? You see, but here's the thing, right? It's like, you know what, Mario, grow some huevos and start your boy, Justin Fields, and you got your kicker too. Go all Pittsburgh, all in on Pittsburgh. Let's go.
All right, show William your huevos.
Show me the muevos. On Scott's side, Justin Herbert starting this week, obviously because Jordan Love is hurt, so he has to put Herbert in. Herbert did not have a good, I guess, week last week. Just points, he put up like 10.36. I think Herbert will have a better week this week, especially playing against Carolina. Again, they're not good. So, it's solid. Someone I'm keeping an eye on personally is the rookie, Ladd McConkey. Is he going to have another good week? Is he going to score another touchdown? Or was that a fluke? You know, is that going to be a consistent thing? Is that someone that Herbert trusts to throw to now? Right now, currently, Scott has Amari Cooper. Also did not have a good week last week. Deshaun Watson looked like shit. I think Amari Cooper is a good wide receiver and runs some good routes. It's just, it depends on what kind of game Deshaun Watson has. So I'm keeping a close eye in the sense of how much that affects Amari Cooper in week two. I thought it was interesting that Scott has Jaguars defense in, but he's also starting Amari Cooper. So I don't know if that's going to stay. He has Saints defense on the bench going against Dallas. As a Cowboys fan, you know, I don't know. It happens a lot of times. I think Dak will throw one or two picks. And I would go Saints defense and get rid of the Jaguars defense. Or get rid of Amari Cooper and leave Jaguars defense in there. Actually, I like that better. Jaguars defense in, take Amari Cooper out.
You don't even know what you're saying.
For who?
man, that's not pretty.
It's not, but I would lean. Sorry, Will, I'll let you go first. Sorry.
No, because I'm looking.
I would lean towards Cortland Sutton if I had to take Amari Cooper out, just because, like, I know Denver didn't have a solid week one, at least not at the quarterback play, not from Bo Nix, but Cortland Sutton was targeted 12 times. He only pulled in like 30 something percent of those. Like,
oh my goodness.
It was like four or three. Four. Okay. Four receptions targeted 12 times. Like, that volume, you that's what you want. Yeah. And I don't know if it was just, you know, thrown into bad coverage or, you know, drop passes. I didn't watch this game close enough to know, but if there is one guy on the bench to, like, maybe this one instead of that one, it would be Cortland Sutton for me.
I agree. Yeah, put in Sutton instead of Amari Cooper. Let's see what happens with Amari Cooper this week, and leave Jaguars defense in there. That's all I got. Y'all have anything for Mario or Scott?
I would also
Mario currently again projected a win.
Yeah, I would also leave Jaguars defense in there. You don't love what Deshaun Watson's doing, and yeah, maybe Scott does play Amari Cooper, and Amari Cooper gets, you know, great volume and maybe even a touchdown, but that's not to say the Jags D can't, you know, pick off Deshaun Watson or, you know, sack him several times or, you know, pick six or whatever it may be. I think there's a higher ceiling for Jags defense going against the Browns compared to the Saints defense taking on the Cowboys. So that would just, I would stick with Jags D, like you said, Will. And then on Mario's side, I think Jaden Reed, I would keep him in the lineup, and I think he's probably the only salvageable pass catcher if Malik Willis does get the start. Because remember, Jaden Reed can also, you know, rush. He can do those, you know, weird Swiss Army knife plays that, you know, very similar to what Debo can do. So I think he's the only pass catcher that's salvageable, and I would leave him in. I wouldn't. It's a downgrade for sure with Malik Willis, but I think Jaden Reed, of all the other pass catchers, can make it work.
All right.
Caleb Williams also, like, that would concern me too, but he has everything around him. He has the weapons, he has the line. Week one jitters, week one just historic data. It wasn't his week. I would stick with Caleb.
All right. What you got, Castro? Anything?
No, I was trying to find a replacement for Reed because I really don't like Malik Willis, but I don't see anyone I like on the bench more. So, I mean, yeah, no, I don't think I'd change anything. Maybe, no, I don't like Javonte Williams. No, yeah, I'd leave as is. And on Scott's side too. I think I'll leave it as is. Cortland Sutton would be good, but, like, I just – Pittsburgh defense looked good. Like,
dude,
They did not look like they were – like, that was a bright spot of that team. So, I think I leave as is as well.
All right. My brother doesn't have anything. Well, we'll pick him. I'm going to choose Mario.
Taking Mario as well.
Taking Mario. Say it, Fonz.
Damn it, Scott. I'm sorry.
Damn.
No.
Your fake friend, Fonz.
The roster's too strong. Will, anytime touchdown from this matchup?
Oh, shoot.
Oh.
Dang.
In case I get crazy and want to do a six leg here. I'll add on.
You are doing a six leg. You have to do all of them.
Okay, I'll do a four, one bet, and then a six leg on the other, two separate ones.
Just because Castro's was a crazy one.
No, it's for the because you and your brother had double matchups, and I'm trying to stick to the. In my mind, I'm trying to stick to the script. So if I only bet the six leg and it's these, you know, last two that ruin it. Like, I'm going to be so pissed. Like, oh, I should have stuck to the original plan of four. Like, five of us.
Yeah, Fonz.
Jalen Waddle touchdown.
Jalen Waddle?
Are you sure? Okay. You're right.
Hey,
you're right.
Don't get scared, Deez. All right. Come on. All right.
Yes, I'm sure.
All right. So from the matchups we covered, we have a 4-6 leg parlay anytime touchdown. James Conner, that was Fonz's pick. Joe Mixon, that was William's pick. Alan Lazard, that was Castro's pick. Jonathan Taylor, that was my pick. And then the extras were Saquon Barkley from Fonz and Jaylen Waddle from William. So I'll put that in. I'll post it so y'all know it's real. And we'll all have something to root for.
If you don't put at least $100 in.
So why do you keep upping it? Deez, let me give you some. I'm going to up the odds here. Deez, you got to go 6-leg, not 4-leg. Oh, if you don't put at least $100
on it. God damn it, Deez.
If I give you 20, don't get a percentage of that.
Well, I'll give you $20 in the 6 parlay.
Oh, this guy. All right, that does it. Thanks for coming along for the drive. We'll be back next week going through everything week 2, the recap, what happened, what didn't happen. So until next time, see you guys later.
Good night, everybody.
Later, everyone.
Signing out. Peace.